tuned in to the Behind the Scenes podcast with your host, Man Robinson, the place where educational, motivational, and inspiration collide with innovation. Be entertained while learning from some of the best actors, directors, and producers in the industry today with self-help tips that you can apply in your career. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.
So coming up next, we got a dope actor. He's been in the game for years. Everybody that I talk to that knows him or his name comes up says identically the same thing. He's a good guy, flat out. He don't take no junk, flat out. All of that, flat out. And he's become my mentor, and he don't even really know it. Or maybe he do know it. I'm not sure. He has one of the most recognizable faces in the game. When you see his face, you're going to say, oh my goodness, that's that guy. And that's exactly who he is, that guy. And we're going to tell you exactly who it is right after this. Come on now.
And now it's time for Man Robinson's Random Thought of the Day.
Random thought. The Karens out there. Why? That's my random thought for today. If you like my random thought, hit me up on Instagram at Man Robinson. Two N's, Man Robinson. Or you can message us on here and tell us if you like it, if you love it, or you can't stand it. Don't even really matter. It's just my random thought coming from me. Back to the show.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm your host, Man Robinson. And like I told y'all in the intro, we got a dope, my goodness, this is an actor, a teacher, a mentor. I mean, I talked to people that you didn't even know was your mentor. So we are talking to the great self-taught, motivator and innovator himself, Sean Blakemore. He has been on General Hospital, which he won an Emmy for, daytime Emmy for, Scorpion, Lethal Weapon, 13 Reasons Why, the hit show Bosch, American Crime, American Horror Story. Let's not forget Ad Astra, which played alongside Brad Pitt. That had to have been crazy. We'll touch on that. I already know that was crazy. You also were in Star Trek, the newest Star Trek, I believe, right? Correct?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Star Trek Into Darkness. A lot of different role variations. And you also were able to touch into what we call method. I call it method, where you had to learn a language that is spoken through us. So you had to learn a language, but you had to speak it with an American way, which is Zulu. And that was Saturday night at the Palace, and you won NCAA award for that performance. Man, yeah. I got to really get to work, man, messing with you. You are way ahead of the game light years. So we have Sean. How you doing today, sir?
I'm great, brother. I'm blessed, brother. How you feeling?
Man, we quarantined. I'm chilling, you know, and trying to still teach people and let people see greatness like yourself, bro.
I appreciate you, brother. Hey, listen, I'm in great company.
Yeah, man. I got, let me see. You probably got 100 credits. I got about 80 to go to you know, be in the real company with you. You know what I mean? But today's topic is very helpful, man. And I think we both can help with this with your lead. Today's topic is taking every role serious. No matter how small or how big, you take it serious and you kill it every single time.
Right.
So the reason we're having that is because that's what you told me.
Yeah.
You told me.
Yeah, listen, that's real.
Yeah, from a director standpoint, you said, man, hey. So can you elaborate on that? Let's get into that.
Well, you know what? Listen, I think, you know, it is strictly about the work. Mm-hmm. And when you get caught up on how many lines or how many scenes you have, you're distracted with the things that doesn't matter. Because every scene, every moment in every project matters. Every moment tells the story in its totality. And so it's our duty, our responsibility to bring our A game and be a part of that process, you know, wholeheartedly commit. And so I don't get up on small roles and large roles, that doesn't make a difference. You know, I think that when people get caught up in that, that's more about egos. Because every role matters, you know, every moment is pivotal to move the story forward and to make something poignant or give you some clarity of some sort, but it's all part of it. And so it's our job to be committed and bring our A game in every beat.
Well, how do you express that to up-and-coming actors? Because every up-and-coming actor wants to be in your position. They want to be working next to Brad Pitt and other greats. And I'm sure you and Brad Pitt was probably going home like, God, this guy, I mean, I know this. So how do we convey that to the audience? To how important is it? What can happen if you go in there and you take a role serious and you do a good job and you only got one line? What's the benefit to that?
The benefit is, one, you did your job.
That's one.
Yeah. That's number one. Yeah. You can't get caught up in nothing else. You did your job. Because when you do your job, everything else takes care of itself. Because you did your part, it plays into the story as it should. Now, from a viewer, whether you're somebody who comes to, who views it, whether it's a film or television, or a writer, director, or producer, and they see it, no matter what your position is in your professional life, if you just have an opportunity to enjoy a project, you know, you're just a viewer. Now they get to see the wonderful work that you put in. They get to see this level of commitment. That's always a payoff. Yeah. Nobody forgets. They don't forget two things: great performances and horrific performances. So how you want to be remembered, that's up to you. So again, it's about the work, you know, and, you know, I just want to, what I care about is me doing my job and giving it 100%, man, really being committed. I don't get into the whether, you know, like I said, you're an up and coming director doing your thing. I believe in you and what you're doing, this project that you, that we spoke of. And so, you know, I've worked for and with many other huge directors, you know, Steven Spielberg, you know, J.J. Abrams, you know, James Gray, you know. So whether I'm working with and for those guys and with and for you, I treat it the same. My mentality about what I'm accountable for, my level of commitment is the same. I don't say, well, this just man. No. Because at the end of the day, you have to research who did what movie, meaning, oh, who's the producer? Who's the director?
Yeah.
What you gonna remember who's on that screen? And what was conveyed, you know what I'm saying? And so, listen, man, my job is to do my job. Anything short of that is complete disrespect to myself and the process of this craft of acting and the project itself. And so I treat it all the same, bro. You know, I've worked on, especially coming up, so many other independent films, and I got to play so many roles and work with so many wonderful actors who are known actors and incredible actors who were coming up just like me back in the day. I didn't care about that, bro. I didn't give a damn about what name you got. I care about putting that work in, you know, and just so you know, I'll just touch on this a little bit. If you want to elaborate, it's fine. But when I did the movie Ad Astra, that was released last fall, I had a great opportunity to work with one of my favorite actors, Brad Pitt. And so Brad Pitt and James Gray, the director, they chose me for the movie. And so I was, you know, I remember when Brad and I first met and we just kind of just start chopping it up. And just like I'm telling you, because that's always been my mentality in that conversation, he's like, yo, man, it's about the work. Even at his level, it's not about stardom and fame. It's not about any of the fluff things that does not really matter. It's about the work, because that's what's remembered. Your craftsmanship, your level, your integrity about your work ethic and how you approach that before shooting, that's on you. The process you go through while you're shooting, that's on you, because it's about the work you put in. that's what's the most important, man. So, you know, again, don't get caught up regardless of how many lines it is. It's not about the lines, it's your performance. It's your level of commitment.
That's what I would
tell an actor. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
The only way you're going to grow, whether it be as an artist and to get your next job, is based upon your performance, based upon your level of commitment. You go stronger, you go hard in the paint, whether you're playing sports or whatever you're doing, you go hard in the paint every time and you'll learn something. And then you keep applying what you learn. It's about the law of application. You keep applying what you learn and you're going to grow innately. You're going to grow. And then, you know, in hopes that lies a payoff, because somebody said, yo, oh, dude was dope. Oh, she was nice. I want to hire her. I want to hire him. So yeah. That's your job. You know what I'm saying? Don't get caught up in the semantics of large, small. That's tomato, tomato. That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. You can carry a movie and be shit the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and your job to carry the movie, your job is to show up.
Well, I got two questions, because you there. I do want to touch on Ad Astra. That's true. And I want to go back to the importance of the roles, because you are speaking. And I hope everyone's listening to what you're saying, how important it is, because not only do you get to build your resume, you also get to be rememberable and hireable and all these other things.
That's correct.
And become a legend. But I also want to talk about something that had to do with that, and that is the Zulu situation. Because I have a daughter. She's 7 years old. Hi, Lyric. Hi, Lyric. She's in Dubai.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's in Dubai for a training program. She's going to be there until July. Well, you know, she's going to be there for a while, put it that way. And she learned Spanish before she went there. So she not the whole language, but she knows enough that a seven-year-old impresses people. And now she just got, I just looked at her report card. She fluent with Arabic. And wow. That's me. I'm like, I got to deal with this language, man. It's rough. Let me deal with this one. So with the piggyback off you said in the work, it's just work, it's work. Tell us what kind of work you put into learning that. I can't call it a language. It kind of is, right?
Well, Zulu is a tribe and it's a language. Yeah. Okay. It's a tribe and it's a language. So I did a play called Saturday Night at the Palace. It was a phenomenal play, very tough story to tell, about, you know, a black man from Africa who from the Zulu nation, you know, spoke Zulu, of course. And of course, when he speaks English, you know, he has an African accent, which is Afrikaans. And so, you know, speaking with an African accent, that's one thing. Because you still have to do that properly, because there's different origins, you know, East and West, you know, just basic East and West. There's different origins of how the words is pronounced, even when you're speaking English. The accent, you have to understand that significance. But also, part of the dialogue was spoken in Zulu. And so it was very, 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 very difficult to learn for me. Because again, you know, hey, I speak English and muy poquito español, you know. And so, man, I would take one line a day. So they have this young lady who spoke, she's from Africa, she's very fluent in Zulu. And so she recorded herself. And I asked for myself, I just said, just to do it two ways. Speak at the regular pace and then slow it down. And so, you know, because once I get it, I can speak it at the regular pace so I can make sure that it's fluent. But I will take one line the entire day and study it over and over, get the accent to understand what I'm saying, but also to memorize. So you got to memorize it. Your delivery, pronunciation, you know, has to be proper. And so, and then it has to be fluent and enough where it's, you know, you're having a conversation. So that was a lot of work, bro. But it was so, so rewarding at the end, you know, because, you know, I've had people from Africa that were very impressed and thought I knew the language. And so that was the biggest compliment. You know, I was fortunate enough to win the NAACP, NAACP Theater Award for that. And, you know, it was nice to be recognized because I you know, like anything, I put in a ton of work, bro. But I don't do it for the accolades. And I put that on everything. I don't do it for the accolades. You know, to be rewarded is wonderful. Don't get it twisted. But the greatest reward is you put all your work in and people are receptive to your commitment, the amount of work that you put in. That's the greatest reward.
I mean, and that's true, man. That's, you don't get a lot of second chances. You'll actually only get one. You know, your first impression is always the best. You only get one, they say, but you do get a second chance. And once you get that second chance, you have to actually, you know, you got to learn a lesson from the first one. And I think I think that's very important. Now, from a director standpoint, so when you're a director, you know, it's a lot of people that come on, they have something to do with a film being made. A lot of people. But it's the director to either get that bad or that good. And then they also break down the actors too. Actors bad or actors good. So as a director, and you, this is one of the things you told me about that, taking every role serious, is that if this is your movie, the overall picture is yours. So overall picture is yours as a director. So you have to cast accordingly, even if it's a very, very, very one-liner role. And that is some, because they're directors and producers listening as well. You have to cast according. It's very, very important. And this is coming from a man who knows best, Mr. Blake Moore. So you also told me about a superstar actress named Viola Davis that actually had an experience with that. You mind sharing that?
You know, Viola Davis, there's this cool story I learned about her. Viola Davis, everybody knows her. Everyone knows she's absolutely incredible. And part of what makes her incredible is, again, the work she puts in. Yeah. And she works at it. She's consistent and she's honest. And because she works so hard at it, you know, she's been able to be successful, to be consistent. And we get to resonate with that. And, you know, that's part of that legacy that makes her so great, because she's just so grounded that we relate to her. So no matter what story she's telling, because she's all about the work, you know, in the movie Doubt, I'm going blank. What's her name? Opposite of, where is her name? I'll come to her in a second. So she was at the scene, and before she had the scene, you know, she was saying she was just grappling about, she just wanted to dig deeper, and just that bell didn't register of where exactly she needed to be. And not until right before she was about to shoot that scene, because she's constantly grabbing, just wanted to dig, man, just wanted to put the work. She's about to work, just digging, just trying to understand so she can connect and really connect so she can tell this story. Not until right before she's about to shoot the scene, she had her aha moment and said, that's it, you know. And she went in and she did that scene, bro. She did those two scenes, but that was just one particular scene. She had in this particular movie, we're talking about, you know, however you view it, she had two scenes. And both scenes were extremely memorable in this entire movie. She still was extremely memorable. And those two scenes, she was not only nominated, but she won the Oscar. Oh, opposite of Meryl Streep. That's what I was thinking. Meryl Streep, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, man, that's what it's about, bro. It's not about how many scenes you got, how many lines you got. It's about, let's put that work in. Let's connect. She didn't want to try to perform it her way through it. She wanted to act it. She wanted to dig in. She wanted to connect so she could live honestly in that moment. You know, and that's what I love about artists like her. That they're not lazy, man. They put that work in. It is not, I can't say it enough. It is not solely about memorization. It is not just about the lines, because lines change all the time. Mm-hmm. And also you have in movies, that, you know, a lot of people think they're watching, so many things are ad-libbed often with great artists. You can have, and I don't mean the whole entire scene, but just little moments can be ad-libbed. But if you can't live free and you don't understand that moment and who you're dealing with in that moment, you can't do that. You can't live.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And so you got to understand, it's about understanding the moments and don't get caught up in the dialogue. Now, the dialogue is important. It's telling your story. But once you get that out of your way, that's just part of telling the story. It's just an expression. That's how we express ourselves. Dialogue is just an expression. But what's more important in the moment is understanding the moment, because you can have the words saying one thing, but internally you really mean something else. So how do you express if you're saying this, but you're actually lying? Are you trying to hide something? Are you embarrassed? Mm-hmm. Are you afraid? But you're saying something that contradicts what that. So that has to portray. So you have to understand the moment. You know what I'm saying? And who you know. So that's the part about just digging deep and going beyond the lines. So, you know, sometimes, you know, the dialogue is very straightforward. And it's not always so deep, you know. And I just think, you know, it's about connecting with the moment and not performing. Because performing is, that drives me crazy.
Well, I agree with you. And we all remember, you know, Meryl Streep and Viola Davis and you and many others. I actually have something that we call Black Movie Star. It's a motivated thought for me. And we're going to go on break for 1 second right now so I can introduce my Black Movie Star. Hold on right 1 second. We'll be right back.
And now it's time for Man Robinson's Motivational Thought. Black Movie Star, motivational and inspirational. Black Movie Star.
So today's Black Movie Star, I'm going to have to go with Marlon Wayans. We talked about him in the episode. I'm going with Marlon Wayans, man. There's a lot of different reasons why we have Black Superstar. And why we're going with Marlon Wayans, it's simple and plain. Marlon Wayans comes from a line of dope actors and comedians and writers and creators and performers in his own damn family. Along with that comes different friends in the industry that surround people like that. So that means that him being the youngest, he was influenced by a lot of different people. So coming up behind all of that and still being who he is nothing less than a Black movie star. So I have to give it to Marlon Wayans, and he's actually Jamie Foxx. We talked about Jamie Foxx before, character actor, but I'm trying to tell y'all right now, character actor, a made up character, comedic actor, Jim Carrey is the only other person that I can see they be in the same conversation as Marlon Wayans. Marlon Wayans is the GOAT in that category. And he's funny. And if you think about it, he's acting at the same time. So again, Marlon Wayans.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.
So welcome back to a Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm your host, Man Robinson. And we just got done with our Black movie star. Like I said, somebody motivational, inspirational, and educational as well. And I want to ask you what you think about this gentleman that I elected this week for my Black movie star. His name is Marlon Wayans. And the reason I chose Marlon Wayans is because he's exactly what you're talking about to me. I watched this young man from the start. He got so-called banned from Hollywood. He kept going, wrote his own movies. And when he does a role, he does a role. He's one of the best character actors I've ever seen. And I've actually told him this. And he told me that he's in Aretha. And he plays a whole different role in Aretha that is going to be even better than that. So
good for him.
Yeah. What do you think about Marlon Wayans? You think he's you think he could have did a Richard Pryor? You think he could have pulled that off?
Listen, man, one, I don't like to weigh in on different artists because I think an opinion has as much power as you give it.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites. I mean, I love this dude. I think he's freaking hilarious. He's just so talented. It's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, to say what someone is capable of doing.
How about this?
I'm not in that position to say, I think he could do anything he sets his mind to. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a, you know, you can get into the dynamics of what's a proper casting or what's not. You know, I would never stand in anybody's, you know, shot of doing whatever. So I don't know if the brother can do it. You know what I'm saying? I never seen him try to portray Richard Pryor, because it's really about portrayal. It's not just performing. When you're talking about somebody who's who's not a fictional character, you know, you have some work to do. And so can he do it? I don't know. I mean, is he incredible and hilarious? Absolutely. You know?
Well, that's the main point here. His work ethic and his ability to still stay in the game and still have hits. His last couple of movies were awesome. Mm. And I think that has a lot to do with taking every role serious and becoming the person that he is.
Yeah.
You know, so I have one more question to ask you today, sir. I know we're on a time frame here. We got things to do and people to see, you know.
Even in quarantine.
Well, that's the question. How do you stay busy as a creator? What are you doing in a creative mind state to keep everything sharp during this quarantine?
Of course, everybody's different because it depends on what you have going on. You know, I'm in a creative space of writing and development for film and television. And also, you know, I have something else going on. You know, you have different entities going on creatively. You know, I have something that I actually invented that has a couple of patents. So I'm working on that to get that in the market. You know, my wife, she has a children's book and her exercise program. So I'm helping her with that. You know, and then, you know, you got kids, you know, in our case, we got kids to take care of, bro. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and other entities, you know, creatively that we're trying to do collectively and me individually, you know, I just think you have to not only find creative outlets, but also for me, I don't like to be totally consumed with that 24/7. I like to unplug and make sure that I'm giving other things attention that needs it, you know, i.e. my family, you know, and sometimes just to chill, you got to unplug sometimes and that helps just reboot. And everything is, for me, as important as a balance. It's finding balance. It's not always chasing that vision and that, you know, that dollar, you know what I'm saying? It's really about finding balance and make sure you're depositing the things that are really important in life that will have an everlasting impact. And not just on yourself, but those loved ones, if you have them in your life.
See, that's what I'm saying about you, man. Everybody I talk to about you, without even asking them, say you are this 100 all the way around, well-rounded. And I'm going to tell you, I am unplugging tonight, and I'm going to watch I'm going to watch Ad Astra tonight.
There you go.
And then after that, I go off and watch some Bosch, you know, because that's
how I'm feeling. Okay, yeah.
I'm going on the Tom Blakemore marathon tonight. You feel me?
So
I'm going to wake up tomorrow with a whole new state of mind. I'm ready to work. You feel me?
That's all good, dog.
So, hey, but I wanted to thank you so much, man, for being the person you are, blessing my movie that we will be shooting this year.
Tell me about it, brother.
Yeah, I Love to Die For It. You know, starring my boy here, Sean Blakemore, a few other people. But I tell you this, I wrote the movie with Sean in mind the whole time, and he was with me every step of the way, man. So when y'all see it, you see that, you know, I had a lot of inspirational thoughts, and I was motivated. So thanks again, man. Coming to Behind the Scenes, man. You have a blessed day. Take care of that family. You feel me?
My brother, all right? My love, man. I appreciate all right. You, dog. Stay safe.
All right, you too, bro.
All right,
thanks for tuning Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. Our aim is to genuinely encourage and inspire you with the compelling stories and content we provide in hopes that you'll inspire others. For info on upcoming episodes and all things surrounding film, techniques, and motivation, follow at Man Robinson on all social platforms. View on blackfilm.com. ManRobinson.org, or stream anytime on Spotify and iTunes. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.